We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on an ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection, and the majority of the time, she will choose life. But she can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside her. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
I love talking about the things of God because of truth and the biblical worldview.
The U.S. Constitution obligates our government to preserve and protect the rights that our founders recognize come from God, our Creator, not our government. I believe that Scripture in the Bible is very clear that God is the one that raised up each of you, and God has allowed us to be brought here to this specific moment in time.
This is Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
Well, this is not Jenna Ellis, folks. This is Bishop E.W. Jackson. Great to be with you again today. Jenna is away on assignment. In fact, I understand that she's doing an interview with Pierce Morgan. But wherever she is, we wish her well. And I only hope that I will do her justice to stand in for her. By the way, I do want to hear from you all because you know what the main topic is going to be today, the debate last night. So just make a note. You probably already know it, but just in case, 888-589-8840 is the number. I'll be taking your calls probably in the next segment because I really want to spend a lot of this program hearing what you thought if you watched the debate, or if you didn't, what you thought based upon maybe clips you've heard or reports you've heard about what went on. So let me just say at the very beginning here, I watched the entire thing. I did it for you, folks. I did it for you. Believe me. Believe me. I really do not want to hear Joe Biden pontificating and frankly stumbling and fumbling and mumbling and expressing completely incoherent thoughts. I really just don't want to hear that, but I listened to every bit of it last night from the opening to the close. In fact, I rigged up in my studio a little situation where people could watch it with me. So I sat in front of the television on my Instagram account and commented along the way. And we had a lot of fun doing it. So it was very interesting. And I felt with my audience there watching with me that I was not doing it alone. So that added an element to it. But look, I have to tell you, I was debating with myself about what to watch the debate on. Did I want to watch it on Fox? Did I want to watch it on Newsmax? Did I want to watch it on MSNBC? And I thought MSNBC or CNN, MSNBC, the Marxist Socialist No Brains Channel, CNN, the Communist News Network, or NBC, the No Brains Channel, ABC, the Atrophied Brain Channel, or one of these other clearly kind of like Biden, cognitively deficient news outlets, just so we could hear the things they were saying. So in preparation for doing that, I turned on MSNBC and I very quickly came to the conclusion I couldn't put myself through that. And probably my audience felt the same way. I could not do it. These people are such consummate liars and such leftist propagandists that I simply couldn't put myself through watching them and listening to them comment. So I did the default. I went to Fox. I started to go to Newsmax, and that was going to be my choice, but it appeared that they were going to have Rick Grenell on. Nothing against Rick Grenell, but Rick Grenell is a homosexual, and Rick Grenell is pushing the homosexual agenda in the Republican Party. And so I didn't want to hear him either. Again, I don't hate the man or anything like that, but homosexuality is sin. I hold fast to that. And I think any attempt to try to normalize that, regularize that, in the Republican Party, which is supposed to be a conservative party based on Judeo-Christian values and principles, I think is wrong and detrimental not only to the Republican Party, but detrimental to the future of the country. It's one of the reasons why I've said before, I'm a Republican kind of by default, based upon the platform, not because I'm always happy with the direction that the Republican Party is going in, by the way. And this idea of embracing the log cabin club and embracing homosexuality is one of the things that I simply cannot abide. And I hope they don't go any further down that road than they already seem to be going. Again, forgive the frequent disclaimers, but I just wanted to be clear. I don't hate Rick Grenell. I don't hate anybody. I love these people. I pray for them. But homosexuality is wrong. Period. And you can't make it right. And you can't, in my view, put somebody up who is living that lifestyle, proclaiming it to be good and right and appropriate, and use that person as some kind of spokesman for conservative values, in my view. You just can't. And look, we probably agree on 90% of the issues. But I'll tell you what, that 10% is big. And the same is true for Guy Benson and these other commentators, but they didn't have them on Fox last night, thank God. I didn't have to deal with that. So at any rate, Fox by default, and it was interesting to watch the debate. And I have to tell you, here's what shocked me. I mean, this is what shocked me. Joe Biden is clearly, I mean, we talk about his cognitive deficiencies, we talk about his deterioration physically and undoubtedly cognitively. It was on full display last night. It was on full display. I mean, I don't know whether you caught it. I haven't heard the news media talk about this particular flub, but right out of the bat, he said, we created 13,000 jobs. He meant, of course, 13 million. But he never caught himself. He never corrected himself. Look, we all do that. We all misspeak. But normally, and again, not even this is true always, but normally we catch ourselves and correct ourselves. Well, on the national stage, debating for the presidency, if ever there were a time when you want to catch yourself, that would be it. We say, I meant to say 13 million. But it was later on in the debate that he finally came back and corrected. And I think then he used a different number, 15 million. I think when he said that, it sounded like 50 million. So he may have even misspoken again. But that was in one of the earliest gambits of the debate. And I thought, oh, boy. Wow. Okay. Let's see what happens. And we watched him just struggle trying to get his thoughts out, mumbling and pausing and literally appearing to go into a trance. Again, I don't know how many of you actually saw it. I watched the entire thing. And folks, it was embarrassing. In fact, that's the understatement of the year. I mean, it truly was embarrassing. In fact, you know what? Just to give you a little sense of this, I was going to wait to use this clip. But if we can, let's go to clip number one, where Biden comments on Medicaid.
Make every single solitary person eligible for what I've been able to do with the with the COVID. Excuse me, with dealing with everything we have to do with, look, if we finally beat Medicare.
Thank you, President Biden. President Trump?
Well, he's right. He did beat Medicare. He beat it to death, and he's destroying Medicare.
Folks, that's just, and he did that on multiple occasions. And I would often look at the audience I was talking to on Instagram and say, I don't even know what the man is trying to say. And if I don't know what he's trying to say, that means he doesn't know what he's trying to say. I mean, it's one thing to know what you want to say and to not get it out particularly cogently. I've had those moments myself, believe it or not. But it's quite another thing to not even know what you're trying to say. And I think that's where he was. I don't think he knew what he was trying to say. I think he was having brain freezes, and he was just letting his mouth roll on, hoping that something cogent, something logical came out. So, but look, again, embarrassing is the understatement. By the way, I'm going to start taking your calls early because I really want to get your feedback. If you watched the debate, and I have to assume most of you probably did. So please get ready, because I think we're going to try to get some calls in the next segment, 888-589-8840. But look, here's what I really want to emphasize, folks. It was more than embarrassing. It really was. Imagine around the world, the people who hate us, the Irans of the world, the North Koreas of the world, the Chinas of the world, and other countries where you've got terrorists basically in control, cooperating with each other, working with each other, trying to figure out a way to hurt America. Joe Biden was a big, loud sign, neons on it, saying, now is the time to hurt us if you want to, because the person presiding over the governmental apparatus of America, presiding over our military, is not there. The man is, for all practical purposes, asleep at the wheel. Now is the time to do America damage, because they won't know what to do. They don't even seem to have anyone in charge. And to me, that is the most disturbing thing about this. I mean, on a human level, frankly, I feel badly for Biden on a human level, because the idolatry of power that the Democrat Party has morphed into, it is a cult of power. They wouldn't care if the man keeled over in his soup. They'd lift him right up and say, what a great president he is, as long as he does what they want him to do. I think that's where they are. I don't care. I don't think they care about the well-being. Look, when power is your idol, anything goes. And that's where the Democrat Party is right now. Power is their idol. Getting it, keeping it, and using it for their own self-aggrandizement. I probably said the last time I was on the air here, I certainly say it on my own podcast, they don't care about us. It is simply not within their wheelhouse, because their priority is themselves and their power and their control over us. That's what matters. That's why Biden is not commenting on the murders of these children, this young girl, Jocelyn, down in Houston, 12 years old, brutally tortured for 2 hours, raped, slashed, strangled. That's why he's not commenting on that. He doesn't care about that girl. He doesn't care about that family. What he cares about is what the Democrat Party is engineering, which is, in their view, political hegemony. You bring all of these illegal aliens, these invaders in, and you ultimately turn them into voters. You give them amnesty, you give them citizenship, or somehow you finagle and you get them on the voter rolls and you get them voting, and you get absolute control over the country through them. That's what this is about. They don't care how many people have to be raped. They don't care how many people have to die in the crossing the Rio Grande. They don't care how many people died trying to make the trip to this country. They don't care how many people are human trafficked. They don't care how much fentanyl comes across the border. They don't care how many MS-13 gang members or cartel members, or they don't care about any of that. It doesn't matter to them. The only thing that matters is the end goal, power. That's what matters. Whatever it takes to get it, whatever it takes to keep it, that's what they're willing to do. I mean, it is the communist principle, by any means necessary. I'm E.W. Jackson in for Jenna Ellis. We're going to be talking about the presidential debate. The number is 888-589-8840. We'll be back in just a moment.
This June marks 2 years since the overturn of Roe v. Wade. But did you know that the number of abortions actually increased in the following year? In 2023, the amount of abortions reached its highest level since 2012. Preborn continues to stand strong for women in crisis. Preborn is a ministry of compassion that showers women and babies with God's love, providing free ultrasounds to mothers to introduce them to the precious life growing inside of them. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she is twice as likely to choose life. $28 sponsors one ultrasound, and $140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation will also help to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. So please give your best gift. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
We're back. This is E.W. Jackson in for Jenna Ellis, and we're talking, of course, about the presidential debate last night. I ended the last segment saying these people don't care about us as American citizens. They don't care about human beings in general. They care about power. That is their idol. That is their God. And in a moment, I want to share with you a segment which just goes to show exactly where they are. But here's the thing, another point to be made about Joe Biden. Clearly not up to the task, but this man is not a patriot. He doesn't care about the state of the country or where the country is going. I really believe that with all my heart. He cares about himself and about his wealth and about his family. And you would think that a person looking at their stage, looking at the way aging is affecting him, and it doesn't affect everybody the same. I mean, I've met people his age who are sharp as a tack. That's not him. That he would say, you know what, for the good of the country, I need to move on, because it's just not fair to America to have someone who is responding the way I am to the various challenges in front of me to be in the presidency of the United States. And when this term is over, I'm going home. You know, a George Washington moment of self humility and saying, you know what, it's time. It's time. For the good of the country, I need to move on. No, because, again, it's not about the country. It's about power. And the people around him, do you think that they care about him personally? Now, again, I may have missed this. I didn't hear every comment, and I certainly haven't read about every comment that any prominent Democrat has made. But I'll tell you what I'm not hearing. Generally, I'm not hearing, you know, I'm profoundly concerned about the president. I'm really concerned about him, about his health, about his well-being. You know, we don't talk about that, but we need to. That really should be first and foremost in our minds. And of course, we got to deal with the political and policy ramifications. But look, this is a human being, and he obviously, at this point, needs something different in his life. You don't hear that because they don't care about him. That's why I say people always argue they're going to get rid of him. Well, they might, but I'll tell you something. I don't think they care about how he looks or how he presents. As long as they get out of him what they want, I think they're happy to have him sit there. And if it ends in or leads to disaster in the country, I don't even think their minds go that way. I don't think they even stop to ponder that. I think the only thing they care about, what does it mean for us? What does it mean for us? What are the implications for us, our desires, our agenda, our careers, our money, our power? I think that's the only thing that drives them. So it'll be interesting to see. But here's a segment of Democrats now responding with their hair on fire after they see, oh, by the way, after the truth is now writ large for all to see, although you and I and others have been saying this now for years, and Democrats have been lying and hiding and obfuscating and basically trying to pretend that what we've been saying is not true. Oh, he's doing great, and he's, you know, this woman, Pierre, Karine Jean-Pierre, gets on television and lies every day. Oh, he's sharp. He's the sharpest person in the room. It all lies, and the lie has now been exposed for what it truly is. You and I knew it all along. They've been lying about it, and now they really can't lie anymore. So what do they do now? Listen to this segment of their reactions to Biden's performance last night.
There is a deep, a wide, and a very aggressive panic in the Democratic Party.
So there's a real concern here tonight that there's been some real damage done that cannot be undone.
There is no two ways about it. That was not a good debate for Joe Biden.
That was painful, but he had a test to meet tonight. To restore confidence of the country and of the base, and he failed to do that. There's a lot of people who are going to want to see him consider taking a different course now. We're still far from our convention, and there is time for this party to figure out a different way forward if he will allow us to do that.
Believe it or not, folks, Van Jones is reported to have actually cried. Right, he cried, and he wasn't crying for Joe Biden. He was crying for the Democrat Party and himself and their agenda for the country, their communist, socialist, Marxist agenda for the country, and the fear that it may go down in flames with Joe Biden. But, you know, it shouldn't surprise us because these people are, they're feelings idolaters. You know, it's all about how we feel. Everything's about how we feel. So, you know, they weren't feeling too good last night. But notice again, you didn't hear a single expression of concern about him as a human being, did you? Not a single expression of concern about him as a human being. And that's really, that humanity would demand that that would be the first concern of those who know him and love him, at least, right? And then, of course, you've got to deal with the potential danger he poses to the country as someone who is in such precipitous cognitive decline, presiding over the greatest nation in the history of the world. That's a problem. No question about it. But my goodness gracious, take care of him. The man needs help. 888-589-8840. Let's get to your call, see if we can get a few in this segment, because I want to know what you all think about this situation. Let's go to Roy in New Hampshire. Roy, welcome.
Hey, Bishop, how you doing this morning?
Bless. And,
This reminded me so much of a boxing match, man. I kept reflecting back to Rocky IV, where the guy said, throw in the towel. Somebody throw in the towel. This guy is done. This guy is done. They should have been throwing in the towel on him. But anyway, there was a comment made about the Charlottesville incident.
Yeah.
And I don't know if anybody heard it, but Joe Biden said, oh, they came out of the forest with pitchforks and torches. And I don't remember any forest ever being around Charlottesville. So I was lost on that.
All right, Roy, thank you for the call. You are absolutely right. I have to tell you, folks, I found myself laughing fairly, I mean, really having some tremendous moments of laughter because of the absurdity of the things he was saying. And that's one of them. I mean, that's one of them. What Donald Trump said, and I live in Virginia, I'm quite familiar with that event. What Donald Trump was trying to say was that not everybody who showed up at that event were radicals from the right or the left. Some of the people who showed up because they had feelings about whether these statues should be torn down or whether we should use them as moments of teaching and moments of history. The left saying, let's tear them down, which is really censoring our history. And many conservatives, including me, saying, why don't we use these as an opportunity to teach, an opportunity to tell people about the history of our country? We've made our mistakes, absolutely. Rather than censoring that history. But, of course, when Donald Trump said there are good people on both sides, That's what he was referring to, and there was absolutely nothing wrong with what he said. But of course, they wanted to make it sound like he was saying, "Well, you know, you got Ku Klux Klansmen and white supremacists on one side, and they're good people," and that he wasn't saying that at all. But you're right. How Biden's read on what happened there was absurd, and it was hilarious, frankly. Let's go to Deborah in Florida. Deborah, welcome.
Well, there's two things I'd like to say. Well, what you were just talking about, the history, and I've said this all along, history is the good, the bad, the ugly, but you learn from history. But back to Biden, my grandmother had Alzheimer's disease, and I also worked as a young woman in a nursing home with a Catholic that had the Alzheimer's disease. And what they're doing to him is just absolutely, it's criminal, because they know he's sick. They know, and the reason why they keep him there, because we have to have the CO2 effect. And what is the CO2 effect? It's Clinton and Obama behind the scenes.
Well, Deborah, thank you for that moment of compassion. Appreciate the call. And you are absolutely right. I said, as a human being, I mean, I feel for him. I really do. Because, I mean, think of it, if it were your grandfather or great-grandfather or somebody that you see, what you know that person needs is help. And you're right. Now, you're the first person I've heard use the term, but I think it's the right term to use. Joe Biden is sick. He is sick. And that came across last night. And so what he really needs is treatment, not to be president of the United States. And therefore, what he needs to do, and we'll see what happens. I don't think they can move him. But if he decides to, he may withdraw before or at the convention. And if he lets certain people know that, then we'll see who they choose. I think Gavin Newsom is probably the person most poised to take that role, because they are afraid of Kamala Harris because of her gross incompetence. And they may not even be able to control her. See, if they could control her, that would be one thing. But she is grossly incompetent, and then may be uncontrollable as well. So it'll be interesting to see how all of this unfolds. Let's go to Shirley in Tennessee.
Good morning. I just wanted to tell you real quick, I don't believe Joe Biden mentioned Jocelyn, the little girl rape, because he don't know she exists, because his mind is too gone. Number two, to me, this shows the depth and the velocity of hate that the Bidens have for Joe. To even put him up there. In 2020, I said the country was stolen, and I felt like it was probably by the Chinese, Obama, and their associates, because I'd never called Joe president because he did not win. And lastly, your run sealed the deal for me, because when you ran, they didn't even allow you on the debate stage. And to be able to keep somebody off who had that much support showed me that presidents are not elected, they're selected. Yep, we should go vote, but I'm going to say in the end, they's who are running this country are going to put up who they want, either Newsom or somebody else. I don't believe the Republicans are going to fully support Trump. So, yeah, they've got us where they want us, and so that they can take America down and bring in the mark of the beast system and their Antichrist, probably the Pope, who said he wants to be president of the world. I believe that was 2015 or 2016 when he came to Congress. So that's my
Shirley. Shirley, thank you. Wow, you gave me a lot to unpack there, Shirley, and there's no way I can cover all of that. So I'll just comment on the part that pertains to me personally. Yeah, look, the media shut me out. I mean, they completely and totally shut me out, and so did the establishment of the Republican Party, just completely and totally shut me out. They do not want biblical worldview Christianity on stage. They simply don't. People respond too well to it. They know it really captures the heart of so many Americans. They don't want it out there. And so therefore, I just got completely shut out and shut down, which made it impossible for me to raise money. So you're absolutely right. There is, Donald Trump's been saying it, the system is definitely rigged. There's no question about it. And the elites on both sides, I'm not talking about the true conservative believers, the Christians, but the elites on both sides work in concert. So, Shirley, I'll end it there. But you said a lot there, and I think you're right. They have an agenda for our country. I don't know whether they even know anything about the Mark of the Beast, but they have an agenda for our country, and it's definitely leading us in that direction. 888-589-8840 is the number. Let's see. I think we've got time for another call. Let's get to Carl in Texas. Carl, welcome.
Yes, sir. It's good to hear your voice, Brother Jackson.
Thank you,
Carl. I told my wife before this debate, when I heard about it, other Democrats are planning to go ahead and have this debate so the people that love Joe Biden so much will realize what, you know, how he is. He's a sick man. He cannot be president. So they did this so they wouldn't get upset if they picked another candidate. That's my opinion.
Hmm. Well, Carl, thank you for the call. One of the reasons I love doing this program, folks, by the way, is I get your insights, and they're often very profound. You do have to wonder, don't you? Before they walked him out there, now they're saying, well, he had a cold. You didn't know that? Before they walked him out there, couldn't they tell what his condition was? He spent, what, a better part of a week in so-called preparation? How did he do during that preparation? Did they find him to be cognitively sharp? And suddenly he goes out there and he loses it all? So, Carl, I don't know. I don't know. But it does strain believability to think that nobody knew the condition he was in and how he would perform, and they put him out there anyway. So, all right. I think we can get Eva. Eva, welcome to the program. Where are you from, Eva?
Good morning, Bishop.
Oh, Arkansas.
I'm calling from Arkansas.
All right. Got it.
And I was excited to know you were on the station this morning. I could pick your brain for an hour.
Thank you.
The one thing I keep hearing in my 53 years, and I'm finally understanding, people are so power hungry. But I've taken care of the elderly for years. If this is so much elder abuse. If that were my dad or grandpa, I would not allow him. Something needs to be done about his wife and his family. I cannot believe they would allow that man to go through all of this. Yeah, I don't agree with none of his policies. But as a human individual, what a sad state of affairs that we are in right now with the gentleman that is definitely not here. It literally breaks my heart. This is elder abuse. Peace.
Eva, thank you for the call. You are absolutely right. And, you know, Jill Biden told him, "You did great, Joe." I mean, what? All right, folks. In for Jenna Ellis, I'm Bishop E.W. Jackson. We'll be back in a moment.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
We're back discussing what happened at the debate last night and the absolute firestorm of criticism and concern by Democrats about the performance of Joe Biden. And again, it's not compassion for him as a person. It's criticism of his performance. And what are we going to do now? Who are we going to turn to now? And it was bad, folks. Here's another instance where, what is he talking about? I think this was a discussion about abortion, ended up talking about pregnant women. But take a listen.
Look, there's so many young women who have been, including a young woman who just was murdered, and he went to the funeral. The idea that she was murdered by an immigrant coming in, they talk about that. But here's the deal. There's a lot of young women are being raped by their in-laws, by their spouses, brothers and sisters, it's just ridiculous, and they can do nothing about it. And they try to arrest them when they cross state lines.
Thank you.
There have been many young women murdered by the same people he allows to come across our border. We have a border that's the most dangerous place anywhere in the world. Consider the most dangerous place anywhere in the world. And he opened it up, and these killers are coming into our country, and they are raping and killing women.
Now, the contrast is stark. Because when I was watching it last night and I saw that comment, listened to that comment by Joe Biden, I thought to myself, what is he talking about? What is he saying? Many women raped by their in-laws, their brothers, their sisters. And by the time he got done, you just think, I have no clue what that was supposed to mean. And then Trump comes in. He's clear. He's cogent. He's pointed. And he just makes the case. By the way, folks, I've made a personal moral commitment. I will no longer refer to these illegal aliens as immigrants because they're not immigrants. Being an immigrant implies that you somehow lawfully and appropriately crossed into another country with the intent of staying there. These people are coming into our country illegally. It is being engineered by Biden and his Democrat cabal. These people are not immigrants. They are illegal aliens and invaders. And that is how I will refer to them from this point forward, because this is simply untenable. And Donald Trump made the case, and Joe Biden, I don't even know what Joe Biden was talking about. I think this started with a little bit of a discussion about the abortion issue. But at any rate, there was never a point at which, other than when he said something nasty about Donald Trump, where it was clear what Joe Biden was talking about. And when he called Trump a name, or he said something nasty to Donald Trump, then, you know, he was quite clear about that. But frankly, he came across as a cantankerous, cranky, out of touch, very, very aged, infirm individual who you kind of look at and say, well, you know, he doesn't really know what he's doing. He doesn't know what he's saying. And you give him a pass, which is what we should do on a basic. But not for someone who is president of the United States, because there is too much at stake. So 888-589-8840 is the number. Let's come back to your calls and your comments. Let's go to Charlie in Arkansas. Charlie, welcome.
Thank you, EW. I'm sorry that your presidential bid didn't work out, but I'm kind of glad it did, because I missed you, man. I really did.
Thank you. Thank you, Charlie.
But what I wanted to say is, it amazes me how Democrats lie, and then they just keep on lying instead of them saying, okay, we misspoke, sorry about that. No, they just keep right on lying. And it's sad. It's really sad, because Trump did the greatest thing last night he could have ever done, sir. When he said, I didn't understand him. I hope you understood him. I didn't understand him. Because he pointed it out, sir. He pointed it out so that the American people could see exactly what they had. And I'll hang up and I'll listen to
you. Thank you, Charlie. Thank you for the call, Charlie. In fact, Donald Trump said at one point, it might have been to that comment. I forget what it was about. But Donald Trump said, I don't know what he said. I don't think he knows what he said. And I think he's absolutely right. Look, this situation is one that poses an existential threat to our national security. And I mean, for me, that is really the bottom line. Again, compassion for him as a human being, but my goodness, I love my country. And I really believe that this man puts us in grave danger, because people see the cognitive condition of the president of the United States, and they know that if there ever was a time to do something against the country where it would be difficult, and maybe not even possible, for the country to respond appropriately, now would be the time. You certainly don't want to do that while Donald Trump's in office, because I think he's right. People knew not to play with Donald Trump. They knew that Donald Trump was going to defend the interests of this country, and he was going to do it vigorously and aggressively. What's Joe Biden going to do? Hobble away and ask, what did he say? 888-589-8840 is the number. Let's go to Maria in Indiana. Maria, welcome.
Hi, Bishop. I'm very honored to speak with you.
Thank you.
And I'm so happy, like the other person said. But I wish you were the president. I think it will be a big sea change for everybody. But I think that people are not expressing compassion because they know the long view. I have a feeling that there is something that that will happen that we have no idea what it is. I think that you know, no matter what happens with Biden, they will make sure that the Democratic Party wins. And I'm praying to God. But there's one question that I'm glad I have the chance to ask you. Why isn't the United States a government of three big branches, which are supposed to balance each other? So what's happening that they're not balancing each other? They cannot come into anything, and everybody is blaming Biden, but we have a Congress, we have senators, we have the isn't that how it works?
Maria, thank you so much for the call. Thanks for the question, and thanks for encouraging me. I appreciate that. Look, we have three separate and co-equal branches of government. That is the nature of our constitutional republic. That is true. But here's what you're referring to, Maria. And I've often read this quote from George Washington. He didn't speak these words at his first inauguration, but he wrote them, and they were found in his papers, where he talks about a corrupted morals and overwhelming ambition, that when you get a bunch of elitists from both parties, all agreeing that what this enterprise is really about is them and their interests, then you get a breakdown of the competition that is supposed to exist between these co-equal branches, asserting their own constitutional power and prerogative in order to keep the others in check. I mean, we don't have time to get into this, but I mean, I was very disappointed by a couple of Supreme Court decisions that came down in the last couple of days, because we saw some of the so-called conservative justices, and they are conservative, obviously more so than Sotomayor and Ketanji Jackson and some of these other people, but siding with these leftists. They sided with them on the issue of standing when it came to suing the government for its collusion with big tech to censor us. I mean, to me, that case was ripe, and it should have been addressed because it goes to the heart of who we are. And they punted, and you had conservative justices agreeing with the punt. So when you have a bunch of elitists thinking essentially along the same lines, in my view, you get a breakdown of that natural, that designed competition that's supposed to exist between these branches, asserting their power and their prerogative against the others, so that no one branch gets to basically dictate to the rest of us. Sadly, I don't think it's working that way at the moment, but that's not because the system is not good. To quote James Madison, I think he said this in number 10, enlightened statesmen will not always be at the helm. Federalist Paper number 10, I believe he said that. Enlightened statesmen will not always be at the helm. Ain't that an understatement? 888-589-8840 is the number. Okay, let's go to Tom in Virginia. Tom, welcome.
Bishop Jackson, how are you doing today?
Bless, Tom. How are you?
I hear your voice.
Thank you, sir.
I have some friends who are older and their cognitive abilities are slipping. And when I'm talking with them, it really breaks my heart seeing that breakdown for a man not being able to communicate, get his point across and all and that sort of thing. And it really bothered me for this human being that I'm seeing in front of me. I don't agree with his politics. I certainly don't agree with the things that he's done to this country. But because of his lack of cognition, he has been guided, and just, a lot of people have called him the figurehead. He's just somebody that he's been played as a puppet by the Democratic Party. And the people that, if you want to call his handlers or whatever, they've taken advantage of the man. And I hold his wife somewhat responsible, because she should, as his wife, should have said, no, you're not going to put my husband out there and make a laughing stock of him. You're not going to do this. I'm not going to allow you to do this to him. And I would hope that there would be some heart in the Democratic Party, some people that had compassion for the man, to say, no, we're not going to put him up there. We're going to do something else.
Well, Tom, thank you so much for the call. Look, yeah, one would wish, right? And maybe there was a time in our country when that would have been true. But in my view, the Democrat Party has gone wholly demonic. I mean, she said to him, you did a great job, Joe. I mean, oh, please, you know, because, look, she's part of this whole process, too. And she's looking at her own power. She's looking at her own family. She's looking at their money. She's looking at their situation. And I guess, in her view, it behooves her to prop him up, too. But you're absolutely right. That's not what a loving family would or should or could be doing. And by the way, folks, I haven't shared this, but I'll just say, I took care of my father. I mean, he ended up in nursing care. But I took care of my father for 10 years as he declined cognitively and had to just basically just accept it and love on him and spend time with him. I went to see him pretty much every single day. That's what Joe Biden needs. He does not need to be propped up sitting in the Oval Office of the White House. Let's see. 888-589-8840. We've only got a couple of moments left. Let's try to get to some of you. Been waiting quite a while here. Let's go to Boyce in Arkansas. Boyce, welcome.
Good morning, Bishop. How are you this morning?
Great, Boyce. How are you?
Great. Hey, listen, I think last night it was a reflection of the true identity of today's Democrat Party. And the Democrats need to be hammered. They propped this guy up. They said this guy's at the top of his game. The media's bought into it. It's amazing to me that anyone would want a Democrat to represent them in Congress, much less have him be our president. And it is very it is very concerning to know that we have a man in his condition that could make a decision that puts us in a war. It's very, very sad. And it's hard to believe that the 25th Amendment hasn't been invoked by this guy, but I think they know that number two is going to be worse than number one. It's very disappointing. In this country, I love this country, and it's very, very sad to see where we're at right now. I've been able to live with a Democrat president, but right now this party is they're off the road, in the ditch, through the woods on the left.
Boyce, thank you so much for the call. Yeah, folks, that's going to do it for today, but all of you are absolutely on point on this. We just have to pray for our country and pray for Donald Trump's election, because he's the best thing we can do to help save this country, certainly in the short term and maybe in the long term as well. In the meantime, folks, great to be with you. Honor to stand in for Jenna Ellis. In the meantime, let's all of us stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
We'd like to thank our sponsors, including Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies' lives. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.